I with them. And then again, we think about these words on this All Saints Sunday. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for this joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Would you pray with me one more time? Gracious Lord, we thank you for the many ways in which you call us to be your own. On this All Saints Sunday, help us to remember those who have gone before, the biblical accounts as well as the earthly accounts in our own lives. Help us to be the people you've called us to be. Help us on this All Saints Day to remember and to be the church, even as we explore that theme together. In your name, amen. So the Bible says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. There am I. Ever been tempted to give up on Christianity? Ever entertained that thought? Are there times when church, either going to church, becomes a meaningless routine, or you wonder whether or not church addresses the relevant questions in your life or in your world? After all, we're living in a world where just recently innocent Holocaust survivors were gunned down in worship. We're living in a world where just this past week, five innocent children were killed getting off a school bus or getting onto a school bus because somebody blew through the stop sign. We're living in a world where those things happen, and sometimes we wonder, as those things happen, all those God questions surface. Maybe you've been in a situation where you've faced illness or death or divorce or some circumstance in your life that's caused you to ask those God questions. How can a God who is caring allow those things to happen in my life and my world? And sometimes the church responses seem to come up a bit short, so they seem. And so we wonder about those questions. Just this last week, we as pastors gathered, there are three of us, we gathered here with our faith walk, our confirmation students. And it was one of those nights where they get to ask the pastor anything they want. I like to think of it as grill the pastor, you know. And so they came up with some questions. Oh, did they come up with some questions? There were some moments when I wished any one of you could have substituted for me. It was challenging. Why do I have to be confirmed? That was one of the questions. How do I know the Bible is really true? How do you get the gift of faith? If it's a gift, how does that come to me? How does that work? They were asking all these questions. I try to refer as many of those to Pastor Glenn as I possibly can. So how does that work? They asked great questions, and we welcomed those questions, and we entertained those questions during our time together in large group and our time together in small group as well, so that they could really grapple with those questions. Good, good, good questions. The whole synagogue mass shooting killing really surfaces those questions once again, doesn't it? When those things happen, it seems that that happens way too often in our places of worship, in our schools, in our offices, in our even our fast food restaurants. It happens. And so we're left to grapple with these questions again and again. Or maybe you've watched those smiling folks on TV for whom religion seems to guarantee prosperity and wealth and happiness. And you've wondered to yourself, well, if I don't give up on Christianity altogether, maybe I should just switch brands. Would that work? Yeah, such is the nature of such questions. The people to whom the book of Hebrews, the letter of Hebrews, is written, faced all these kinds of questions about their faith. That's why the book of Hebrews is written. It's written to people facing these kinds of questions. They needed encouragement. They discovered that discipleship was no bed of roses. Instead of peace, prosperity, health, and happiness, discipleship had for them brought hostility and hardships. And some of them, it seems, were quite ready to throw in the towel and call it quits. To instill in them a new spirit of courage, the author of Hebrews in chapter 11 gives them example after example after example of those from the past who had faced persecution and hardship and had not given up on the faith, but instead had persevered. Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, David, all the prophets, they're all listed in Hebrews chapter 11. It's a great, if you want to take this week and use chapter 11 of Hebrews as a devotional, I encourage you to do so. It's a rich chapter, Hebrews 11. It will encourage you in your faith walk. It's rich. In fact, if you want to read it now while I'm talking, that's okay. I'll give you special permission. For those of you who happen to eavesdrop in, I'll just continue by saying that I believe they persisted because they didn't give up on God, and God never gave up on them. And they discovered that God's promises of never leaving or forsaking them, but always being with them, were indeed true. And that's what happened, even though they faced incredible hardships. So this week, what I want you to do is I want to invite you to remember. I want you to look at Hebrews 11 and remember those people of faith who were our forefathers of faith, our foremothers of faith, because women and men are listed there, and to think about them. And I also want you to think about not only how they persevered, I want you to think about those people that God has brought into your life. Who are the people that God has brought into your life that helped you persevere in faith? Today I'm thinking about Jim Cole. Jim was one of my Sunday school teachers back at Christ Lutheran Church in Cottonwood, Minnesota. Not only was he a Sunday school teacher, but he had as a calling any boy who had been orphaned, sort of, whose dad had died and didn't have a father figure in their life. Jim kind of took it upon himself to mentor them and not replace their dads. He certainly didn't replace my dad in any way, but he did teach me how to hunt, how to canoe, how to camp. And all the while, he taught me about the love of Jesus. Told me some about his military days. He told me about some of the hardships in his life, but always against the backdrop of faith. Jim is now living in his heavenly home, but I thank God on All Saints Sunday for Jim Cole. I also thank God for Arvid Lund. He was a farmer in Cottonwood, Minnesota, who had lost his leg, a one whole leg, due to a farming accident. He didn't have all the safety guards back then that they do today. He had lost his leg in a farming accident, but he didn't ever let it get him down. Or maybe he did, but at least I didn't see that part of Arvid. The part of Arvid I got to see was the faithful part of Arvid. I'm sure he had lots of hardships, but he always demonstrated how God got him through those hardships. It was a real witness to me. I remember sitting with him in the basement of Christ Lutheran, eating pie and cake and hearing some of his faith stories. Today, I thank God for Cal Storley. Cal was a pastor, mentor of mine when I was just a baby pastor, just learning the ropes of what it meant to be a pastor. And I remember his bits of wisdom. He never tried to impose them on me. He simply shared them out of a faith context. And he had faced all kinds of hardships. And I got to see how he managed hardships in his own life and in the life of church. And today on All Saints Sunday, I'm thanking God for Arvid and for Jim and for Cal. I'm also thanking God for my faithful Sunday school teachers, many faithful women who persevered through times of difficulty, and all of the ones I'm remembering today are now residing in their heavenly home, but I thank God for their faithful witness. Who is it that God has brought into your life? Who's that faithful witness? Just this last week, I received two emails from people who had recently lost family members. And the context of the email was they were thanking God for the way in which that faith-filled family member persevered and endured during tremendous hardship. the painfulness of the illness they were enduring, and yet faithfulness is what kept them going strong. And they were thanking God for that witness, a witness that they believed would keep them going strong in their life. So who's that person? Today I encourage you to think about that person, to remember that person. If they're still here on earth, maybe reach out and thank that person. In fact, I want to just take a moment and hear from you. Is there a person in your life that you're thanking God for today? I've shared some of them, of mine, with you. Is there somebody that is no longer here on this earth that you're just really thanking God? Or maybe even somebody who's here on this earth. Who is it that you have in mind that God brought into your life in a special way? Is there somebody? Could even be one of the biblical witnesses if you want to go that route. It can. Parents. Yeah, I thank God for my mom and dad too. They were faithful. Thank you, Carol. Nancy? Karen Coffrin. Karen Coffrin went on a WGO Honduras mission trip. Her spirit is very much, she did many things here in the church. And she battled through her cancer in an incredible way. For many years, I kept a voicemail on my voicemail at church here. It's the last telephone call I got from Karen. And it was just a few days before she passed. And it was saying, Pastor, it's time for my last communion. Can you come over and visit? And so I remember that. Yeah, Karen was a faithful witness. Yeah, Denise. What's that? Rena Mack. Longtime staff member here at Good Shepherd who battled cancer and battled it boldly and battled it faithfully. And even in the midst of her battle was a faithful witness. And prior to her battle, what an incredible joy-filled witness of faith. Yeah, Rena Mack. Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah, David?
My son-in-law, Pastor Tim Crick.
Yeah, your son-in-law, Pastor Tim Crick. Had a great conversation with Tim this last week as Tim's brother passed away suddenly, and we talked about that. Yeah, he's a great witness. Great member of Good Shepherd who got his call to be a pastor as he felt that call while here at Good Shepherd, and he'd felt that call for a long time, but married to your daughter, you know the stories of how God was working in his life to bring him to that point. God has called several from Good Shepherd to be pastors in addition to Tim. God has called Carol Book, a member of our church, to be a pastor. She's up in Elgin. God is currently calling Julie Righteous Peterson. In fact, has called her. She's serving a church in New Jersey, a member of Good Shepherd. Her ordination service will be here at Good Shepherd November 25th. You're all invited. You can come. It's going to be on a Sunday afternoon, that Sunday of Thanksgiving. You're invited. It's really good for us to see women pastors. It really is. And Julie and Carol are great pastors. We're grateful for that. What's that?
Tara Beth Leach,
yeah. Female pastor now in California served among us. Yeah. So as you remember, John.
I don't want to invoke a person. It's more of a body of, and it's the body of Good Shepherd.
Oh, neat.
They have been very instrumental in my faith walk. And
great.
Guiding me through. And so it's not just one person, but it's this whole community. And how
That brings us a great segue, a great cloud of witnesses. Right after Hebrews 11 comes Hebrews 12. I know. I'm pretty good at math, I just have to tell you. But in Hebrews 12, it talks about that great cloud of witnesses, all those witnesses of faith. Now, those witnesses had seen the dark, shady side of life too. They had. And they weren't perfect by any stretch of the imagination. For example, let's take Abraham, the father of faith. Not so much. Do you remember the incident when he was going down to Egypt? And he looked at his wife Sarah as they're traveling. He thought, wow, she really is good looking. And you know, when I get down to Egypt, Pharaoh might want her for his wife. And he's got that harem. And what's he going to do to me to get rid of me? So he said that she was his sister. That didn't work out very well. I can only imagine the marriage therapist that they must have needed after Pharaoh kicked her out of his harem because he discovered what was going on. And, you know, God used Abraham, not because Abraham was so great, but because God is so great. And God worked in a person who sometimes was faithless to make him a father of a great nation of faith. Moses, what about Moses? You know, there's an incident in his life out of righteous anger. He killed an Egyptian. Not such a good plan. He had to be exiled. But God called him out of exile, forgave him for his transgression, and worked with him to lead the people of Israel out of slavery down in Egypt. What about Jacob? Conniving rascal. What a rascal. He wrestled his brother's birthright, his inheritance, stole the family inheritance from his brother. You know, what a conniver. Yet God forgave him, worked in him, transformed him to be the faith-filled follower he became. These people weren't perfect. Far from it. With all their warts and imperfections, God used them, which demonstrates how great God is, not how great they were. Real people like you and I, real sinners like you and I, real saints like you and I. Because a saint is a forgiven sinner, and that's what God desires to do. God desires to forgive each and every one of us and transform us into forgiven sinners who become saints. Today is All Saints Sunday, a good day to remember, a good day to claim that, yes, we're forgiven as sinners, and God has a plan for us. And so, as God's forgiven sinners, it is by God's grace he transforms us into saints. Saints and sinners, sinners who have become saints by God's grace. You know, you and I in our day are not up against the same kind of pressures as were those people in the Bible. They were persecuted, they were tortured, they were killed for expressing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And you know what? That happens today as well. It happens over and over and over again. In many countries, there are people being persecuted and tortured and killed for claiming the name of Jesus Christ. We need to pray for them. We need to support them however we can possibly do that. We too, even though we might not be persecuted and tortured like that, are oftentimes tempted to become discouraged. So what do we do in our moments of discouragement? What do we do when we turn to the TV or the radio and we hear that constant barrage of political advertisements and we don't know who is telling the truth anymore? How do you sort out fact from fiction in all of that? And where does faith fit? Can Tuesday morning come soon enough? Can Tuesday just be done already? Be sure to vote and pray. No, let's do it this way. Let's pray and then vote, okay? Let's do that. We don't seem to be making any headway against evil in our world, do we? We really don't. Like the constant shootings, the poverty, the violence here in Chicago, in places like Honduras, that caused a whole caravan of people to try and leave that country. So how do we respond to all of these situations in this world in which we live? How do we respond? In moments of discouragement, there's great comfort in remembering the saints lifted up in Hebrews 11 and 12. That great cloud of witnesses of saints who have gone before us, countless thousands, even millions, they had problems too. Some of them worse than we'll ever have. And yet they persevered. They kept the faith, and the faith kept them. So the book of Acts tells us that in the face of intense persecution, suffering, even death, this is how the first believers in Jesus Christ, this is what they did. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, continuing to meet together, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. On this All Saints Sunday, 2018, a day when we receive new members, and we've got quite a few in this worship service, new members being received, we're so excited. There's no coincidence that new members are being received on All Saints Sunday. There isn't. It's how we regard you. It's how God regards you. Forgiven sinners, transformed into saints by God. On this Sunday, when we ask the question, why church? On this Sunday, when we emphasize small groups, we lift up this focus by inviting you to explore God.
Why were we put here? I think everyone wants to know, why were we put here? Why are we on Earth?
Let me put it this way. I'd like to think that God is real.
I spent so long under a storm cloud.
In a word, what are you looking for in life?
What is my life supposed to look like? What am I supposed to do with my talents and my gifts? And how am I supposed to be a part of this big, huge world with 7 billion people? Do I have any role to play in that? That's the question people are asking.
And a glance into your eyes is all that I need to climb to my feet.
People have a desire for a sense of wonder. People have a desire for a sense of love. People want to figure out if something's true or not, and who can they trust?
I would say that God put this curiosity in all of our hearts. I don't think it's a bad thing that we look at other options and look down other roads to try to figure out exactly why we're here or what our purpose is in life.
People here don't want to go to Bible study. It's not that. It's just a good conversation about life.
We can have superficial conversations all day long, but when you're asking about something transcendent and something mysterious, you kind of hear people's longings as well, and their dreams and their desires, and you hear their troubles and their fears. And I think we're more authentically human when we start asking spiritual things.
I think I know what I believe, but I still wonder about a lot. So this is for me as much as it is for you.
So we at Good Shepherd desire to be authentic, to allow you to ask your honest, authentic questions, whether it's in Faith Walk / Confirmation, whether it's the worshiping community, the 11 community, whether it is in a small group that you might be part of, whether it is an individual one-on-one conversation. We desire for you to be authentic, and you are, and we appreciate that. In fact, it's one of the hallmarks of the 11 worship service, and we appreciate that. And so on this All Saints Sunday, we encourage you. Our encouragement is this. Number one, if you're not part of a small group already, and many of you are, but if you're not part of a small group, let's get you connected to a small group. Or if you're already part of a small group or not, would you consider being a leader of a small group and think and pray about that? And as we do so, we remember the biblical response of those who faced tough questions in their day and age and how they gained perspective and strength by meeting together in small groups. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says this: "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together." Yesterday is All Saints Sunday / New Members Sunday, and that's not a coincidence. In fact, new members, let's just have you stand for a moment in our midst. We've got children, we've got parents, we're so glad you're here. It's so good. And there's a luncheon in your honor afterwards, and that's awesome. And we're just delighted. And we want the rest of you to take a look at those inserts that you have in your bulletin so you can connect the names and the faces and welcome them and let them know how happy you are that they're here to share with us. The Bible says this about who we are. Fear the Lord, you who are his saints. For those who fear him, and the context of that word fear there is love, those who love him lack nothing. So this day, this All Saints New Member Sunday, let us remember the tough questions faced by our faith ancestors. And let us remember that we have a great cloud of witnesses, faithful followers past, cheering us on from their heavenly home, that we might be the witnesses in our day and age that God is calling us to be. Tough questions, tough life situations. One of the reasons that we give that answer to why, church? Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we thank you for church. Mostly we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to earth, gathered a small group together and called them disciples, followers of Jesus, that they might go and start more small groups, that they might go and start churches, that they might go and start worshiping communities, that we might truly know the story, that we might be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and be the church. Lord, we're bound to have questions. Lots and lots of questions. Help those questions allow us to grow in faith, the opportunities for growth and transformation. Thank you for those saints from the Bible that we've lifted up today. Thank you for those saints who have come into each of our lives and allowed us to see what faithful followers look like and inspire us and encourage us to be the faithful followers, saints transformed into saints, or rather sinners transformed into saints that you desire for us to be. In your name we pray. Amen.
Every day we make decisions